Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, June 24th. I'm Jonathan Aul. More than a month after a tornado devastated parts of North St. Louis, community-led efforts to help out the region continue, and one St. Louisan is building temporary shelters with the help of teenagers.
By doing this, we can help out people in however many places, by giving them somewhere to get away from the cold, the heat, or just any kind of form of shelter.
With Tiny Home STL, teenagers are learning carpentry, electrical, and roofing skills. That's coming up on The Gateway. Governor Mike Kehoe unveiled his nominees for a board that will oversee the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on what's next for the GOP governor's appointees.
Under a recently signed law, a five-person board will have oversight power over the St. Louis Police Department. Kehoe selected Brad Ortega, Sonia Jenkins Gray, Edward McVeigh, and Chris Saraceno to join St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer on the board. Kehoe's nominees will need Senate confirmation, but can serve through the rest of the year. He says he's hopeful they'll receive favorable consideration when the legislature reconvenes in 2026.
These appointments mark a significant move towards transparency, collaboration, and a safer future for the city.
Kehoe also appointed car dealer Don Brown to serve as a non-voting member of the police board. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A prominent attorney and a leading voice in criminal justice reform in Missouri is leaving her post at an organization that represents people convicted of crimes they did not commit. Tricia Rojo Bushnell led the Midwest Innocence Project for 12 years and helped free 15 people from incarceration, including Christopher Dunn, who was released from prison last year. She also grew the nonprofit from one employee to a dozen.
You know, I know, I don't even have to hope, that it will continue doing the great work that it has been doing. I believe that the organization will only continue to expand, gain more resources, and be able to help more people.
Midwest Innocence Project's legal work is pro bono, and most of their budget comes from donations. Bushnell will become the leader of the Quantron Center for Fair Administration for Justice at the University of Pennsylvania in August. St. Luke's Hospital in DePere is set to close before the end of the summer. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports a spokesperson did not immediately say how many people would lose their jobs in the closure.
St. Luke's officials say they're closing the location on Doherty Ferry Road in August because not enough people are going there. The St. Louis County-based health system bought the 143-bed location less than a decade ago from a Texas company. According to spokeswoman Kelly Webb Little, the hospitals faced, quote, persistently low utilization and increasing financial pressures, unquote. St. Luke's will continue to operate its nearly 500-bed hospital in Chesterfield and other outpatient clinics in the region. Unlike other hospitals in the area, St. Luke's is not affiliated with a large multi-state health system such as BJC or Mercy. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Construction began yesterday on a 2-mile pedestrian bike path that will connect the Cortex to Tower Grove Park. It's the latest development for the Brickline Greenway project, which aims to connect St. Louis neighborhoods. The project's first phase will rework the road between Van Deventer Avenue and Tower Grove Park. Plans will call for reconfiguring traffic intersections, repaving Tower Grove Avenue, and putting in protected bike lanes. Sixth Ward Alderwoman Danielle Velasquez says that biking on Tower Grove Avenue has not been pleasant for residents.
People have been wanting this road repaved, but also, I think, waiting for it to be redone in a way that is bold and exciting is equally important.
The first phase of the project is scheduled to wrap up in the summer of 2026. Newly obtained public records show that before he was Pope Leo XIV, Robert Prevost reached out to former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Mawa Iqbal has the story.
March 9, 2011. It was the same day Quinn, who was governor at the time, abolished the state's death penalty. Prevost, through an online portal on the governor's website, submitted a thank you note to Quinn, saying he, quote, applauds his vision and understanding of the very complex matter. Quinn, who is Catholic, says he had many prominent figures from all over the world congratulating him on signing the law, but
getting a letter or an email from the future Pope, you can't beat that, that's for sure.
The Holy See, the Catholic Church's central governing body, did not respond to immediate requests for comment. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
As tornado recovery efforts continue across St. Louis, one person is trying to provide alternative housing for victims. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, his group is also teaching trades to a new generation.
It's Torin Gray's third week on the job. He and about 40 other teenagers are on a North City lot putting together a wall for a house.
So far, I've been going around seeing who needs help with nailing the studs into place.
Soon, he and Garrison Pounds will be moving on to the next steps.
Learned how to use electricity. He gave us a little basis and already got the drift of it.
This is Tiny Home STL, a volunteer-led group teaching teens how to build tiny homes that will be used to house tornado victims. They're learning carpentry and electrical skills to build the homes outside of the Wesley House on Lee Avenue. Like many in St. Louis, they're doing what they can do to rebuild North City after the devastating May tornado.
You hear me?
Arion Johnson is founder of Tiny Home STL. He says the goal for the group is 100 homes.
Me and other carpenters, we can build 100 houses in a couple of weeks, but we're teaching the youth how to rebuild St. Louis because we want St. Louis to be rebuilt the same way or rebuilt strong. We don't have enough tradesmen out here.
About 13 of the 10x12, 120-square-foot houses have already been built. The plan is to lease the homes for free for 2 years with maintenance every 3 months. Johnson says the program does two things simultaneously, helping people who lost their homes while teaching younger people valuable trades.
So if the kids keep building these tiny scales of a home, when they get to that big scale of a home on a bigger job site, it'll make sense to them because they did it so many times on a small scale.
16-year-old Teron Henderson is taking that lesson to heart.
Maybe make a business when I get older, you know, like build, electrician, you know, like what he said. He helped us, like make how to build stuff, you know.
But it hasn't been without its challenges. The homes don't have plumbing, and Johnson paid for a lot of this himself. But they need more money, so he started a GoFundMe for the project. Johnson can't just place a house anywhere because of zoning. They're adding electric wiring to the homes, but need a source of power. The group is also building the homes outside, making it difficult during rain and hot temperatures. Shamim Clark Hubbard is Johnson's alderwoman. She says this is an important program that gives displaced people a different option for a temporary home.
For any individuals that don't want to go to the long-time shelter, don't want to go to the temporary shelter, don't want to go to even the hotel rooms that have been offered here, this is an opportunity for them that gives them more of a more stability in that.
Back at the Wesley House, the kids are still working to build the homes, and Johnson is still giving directions.
Remember I tell y'all, make a square first, and then it'd be easy to do the inside pieces. Make the square first. Line it up.
For Gray, it's all about taking matters in his own hands and doing what he can to help out the community.
Now we have to come together and take charge. And by doing this, we can help out people in however many places, by giving them somewhere to get away from the cold, the heat, or just any kind of form of shelter.
And Johnson says he's not stopping anytime soon. He hopes to use the unused homes for future disasters. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Jessica Rogan edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.